Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation on this Holy Trinity Sunday, and also as we think about National Father's Day, we look at St. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 42 for our text. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, the Father, in whose fatherhood all fatherhood is known. When I was growing up in Toledo, and my cousins would come to visit in the summer, we would often on a summer morning say goodbye to my mother, and then she would not see us again until supper time. I'm sure that she thought about where we were and was concerned in the back of her mind, but she never was really afraid. Society no longer can take such an easy attitude toward its children. And that's because society has failed to teach people the difference between right and wrong, and has failed to punish the wrong. Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus had wandered away from them as they were returning to Nazareth from Jerusalem, the holy city, after celebrating Passover. But Jesus was not a small child, and they weren't at first overly concerned because they were traveling in the company of their friends and relatives in a caravan. Incidentally, the Greek word here that is company, we translate in English as synod. So you and I are traveling along with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the company, in the synod caravan that we call Wells. When they decided to go look for Jesus, Luke tells us that they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking questions. Why was Jesus still in the temple, as he had remained there when they left? Because his parents had taught him the importance of learning God's word. Mary and Joseph had taught their child the importance of worship. In fact, we hear that it was their custom, it's something they did regularly, to go to Passover and the other Jewish festivals. Jesus reminded Mary and Joseph of that lesson that they had taught him. He reminded them that they really should not have been surprised that he had learned those lessons from them. and that he would be about his heavenly Father's business. In Luke's account, we see Jesus as a model student of God's Word. And we see Mary and Joseph as model parents. Parents who tended to their children, to God's children in their charge. And so this morning on this National Father's Day, we want to consider this theme, parents tend God's tender plants. First, so that our children grow in wisdom and stature. And secondly, so that they grow in the knowledge of God's Word. As a true man, Jesus set aside the full use of his perfect knowledge. And so Jesus had to be a learner, just like our children. Jesus had to learn and study God's Word, just like our children. Jesus subjected himself to the authority of Mary and his legal father, Joseph, as God's representatives, just like our children are obedient to us as God's representatives over them. There was no question in Jesus' family who the parents were and who the child was. And that's true also in our Christian families. God the Holy Spirit has given us that sanctified judgment to know that we're the parents and they are the children. Although we'd all have to admit that we don't always remember that or use that and apply that. Children are not to be, or not, as my mother used to say, to rule the roost. One author said that when parents don't act like parents, that you end up with a kindergarten where the children take over the family. Mary and Joseph, Jesus' legal father, did not have that problem. They took care of their son Jesus. And if they had other children, then they would have tendered those tender plants of God as well. Jesus' obedience, his subjecting himself to his parents, was part of his active obedience of the law. It was his keeping the fourth commandment for us. His subjecting himself to them perfectly was part of that perfect righteousness that Jesus offered up as payment for our sins on the cross. But the fourth commandment doesn't apply only to children. It applies also to us parents. It commands us to love our children. It gives us responsibility of protecting our children from harm, physical harm, but especially spiritual harm. It commands us to feed and clothe and nourish our children, particularly with God's Word. Joseph taught Jesus the difference between one end of a hammer and the other. But Joseph also taught Jesus right and wrong and the difference between the two. But in Jesus' perfect obedience, his parents never had to punish him or rebuke him for doing something wrong. And we see that Jesus continued to do this when he was a preteen and even afterwards. Luke says that after this all happened, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. We fathers and mothers tend God's tender plants. We take care of them and raise them for God. We raise them and tender them so that they grow in wisdom, in the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom, that they grow in stature, that they grow to be healthy and strong, that they grow to be good children, and maybe later good parents, good citizens, good neighbors, and good friends with others. We teach them to know the difference between right and wrong, because we've taught them right and wrong according to God's will. And we consistently and firmly and lovingly discipline them when they do wrong, as God faithfully disciplines us, His children, not because or when we do wrong, but because He wants to train us and lead us into a righteous life as His children. We teach our children the difference between right and wrong, and we teach them that Jesus loves them because the Bible tells them so. And that really leads us to the second part of how parents tender God's tender plants. We tender them so that our children grow in the knowledge of God's Word. Mary and Joseph tended Jesus so that He would grow in the knowledge of God's Word. And again, in the mystery of the communication of attributes, we don't really understand how it is that Jesus was able to set aside the full use of His perfect knowledge. But we know that He did. And so He learned. He studied. He was a student of God's Word. And He had many teachers. First of all, His parents. Our children's first teachers are their parents. But there were teachers in the church that would have helped them. Think of the rabbi in the synagogue at Nazareth, where Jesus later declared Himself to be the Messiah. Or here, when He was 12 years old, we find Him sitting at the feet of the teachers of the law, learning God's Word in the Old Testament and studying it. That must have been interesting, to say the least, to have had Jesus as a student. Whether you were Mary or Joseph or the rabbi or those teachers, here was a student who was just thirsty for God's Word, who wanted to learn more and more about what God says. Never disrespectful to His teachers, and really showing His knowledge and ability to learn by giving good answers and understanding God's Word as they were teaching Him. It's interesting too, I think, and maybe you've never really thought about it, that when Jesus was learning the Bible, the Old Testament, that He learned there about God's promise to send the Savior. And so again, in that mystery, we would say that Jesus came to learn and came to see and appreciate and understand what it meant that He was the fulfillment of that prophecy. That He was that and is that saving Redeemer that God had promised the world. And now at 12, rather than, as some people wrongly say, Jesus sinned by talking back to His parents and being rude to His mother, Jesus rightfully and lovingly reminded them of this truth, that He had to be there in His Father's house, being about His Father's business, learning His Father's Word, because that was all part of His experience of being the Savior, and then later being able to teach God's Word to others, even as that living Word. Fathers, mothers, parents, and teachers in the church We are like Mary and Joseph as teachers of our children. We all want our children to do well in school, to have a good education, probably go to college, maybe after college. But the real knowledge that we need and want to impart to them as tendering God's tender plants is God's Word. And so we teach them that Word at home. Jesus learned God's Word on his mother's knee. He learned it in his father's carpentry shop as he and Joseph talked while they worked. But we also do that instruction with the help of the church, through Sunday school and confirmation classes, through Lutheran elementary schools, if a church has those, through preschools, through high schools and Lutheran colleges. In all of those places, we impart and tender our children so that they grow in the knowledge of God's Word. We teach them as Jesus learned about Adam and Eve and about Noah and about Abraham and about David and particularly about Jesus, that Messiah, that Savior from sin, who carried his righteousness and his perfection to the cross as that perfect payment and sacrifice to forgive our sins. Martin Luther once wrote about the teachers in the church who help us parents. Luther said, quote, "Since they are our spiritual fathers, they are entitled to corresponding honor, even more than all kinds of fathers." A home where parents love their children, discipline their children, teach their children right and wrong, and to know the difference, is a strong home. A home where children obey their parents, do their studies in God's Word, look to their parents as examples of Christian living and godliness that are modeled there. Those homes are happy homes. A congregation where its members are strong teachers of God's Word and strong learners of God's Word is a strong congregation in Christ, because with knowledge and a strong, loving hand, as servant leaders who teach and as learners who learn, we are growing in that knowledge of God's Word, that saving knowledge that we take with us to eternity. Then our children and we grow into healthy plants bearing good fruits. Fathers and mothers, tend God's tender plants, our children. Servant leaders in the church, tend God's tender plants, His people, by teaching God's Word and providing opportunities to learn God's Word. Because in the church, we don't just teach our own children, but we teach all the children of the congregation. And then we will grow in wisdom and stature and in knowledge of God's Word. Then we will bear fruit to God's glory and shine out in our Savior's righteousness. Amen.